Okay, with that, we are moving towards our last item on our agenda, item 9, which is board closing comments and meeting wrap-up. And I think we can start that. This is our last opportunity for public input. And we'll see if we have anybody ready for public testimony on the items we've heard today. Hillary, has anybody signed up?
Yes, Chair Kelly and members of the board. We have five members of the public joining us today.
Okay, great. Thank you for those who signed up to provide testimony to the board today. We ask that everyone in the Zoom queue to not exceed their allotted time of 2 minutes. I ask that before you start to state your full name, the item you are providing testimony on, and associated affiliation if representing a group or organization. A timer will be provided to track your time, and each commenter will be called on by the board administrator. With limited time available, anyone who exceeds their time will be prompted to provide a closing statement and muted. And Hillary, are we ready to begin?
I believe we are. Everyone in the queue, thank you for joining us again today. Just to help us keep us on track, I'll list your names in a set order and call on each of you to begin your testimony. You'll be unmuted for the comment portion and muted upon your conclusion. When you begin, a timer will be displayed for 2 minutes. And then when you see the timer run out, we will ask you to conclude your closing comment. So for the order today, for item 9, we have Katherine Thomason, Grace Braler, Laura Wilkeson, Rex Storm, Brett Brownscombe. Katherine, just give me a moment to present my timer. Ms. Thomason, ready when you are.
Thank you, Chair Kelly and members of the board. I appreciate the opportunity to address you regarding the climate change and carbon plan and applaud your vote. I'm speaking today as the chair of the Environmental Caucus of the Democratic Party of Oregon. I especially applaud the hard work of Danny Norlander in crafting the document with input from many. I obviously don't need to reiterate the grave threat of climate change nor the amazing resource we have in our western forest. But it is a complex order to achieve the greatest possible value from our forest when each owner type puts a different weight on those values. I applaud the plan's willingness to address each of these potential obstacles, as they're now called. And I want to pledge on behalf of the caucus, we will work to raise public awareness to help elevate alternative jobs in stewardship and recreation and other forest arenas. And importantly, to help fund an ambitious program within ODF and DEQ that measures logging carbon emissions, that quantifies the ecosystem services and the role of intact forests, and a system that encourages and incentivizes more sustainable harvests. This is defined as avoiding clear cuts, leaving the largest trees, lengthening rotations, while protecting our mature and old growth found especially on public lands. And potentially in the holdings of small forest owners like Ms. Kerner that we heard from, willing to contribute to our society in the fight against climate change. I look forward to the rules and program development to put a strong plan in place. Thank you for allowing me to testify.
Thank you. Up next, Ms. Braler. Grace,
Good
whenever you're ready.
afternoon. Sorry. Dear Chair Kelly, members of the board and department staff, for the record, my name is Grace Braler, and I'm the Oregon Climate Action Plan and Policy Manager for Beyond Toxics, and I'll speak to both the CCCP and the FMP. First, thank you for unanimously approving the Climate Change and Carbon Plan. Our forests can and must play a significant role in mitigating and adapting to climate change, and we really appreciate the board and department's efforts to begin to prioritize Oregon forests as the powerful natural climate solutions that they are. And great appreciation for and recognition of all the work that went into that plan. I also want to speak to the importance of prioritizing climate in the Western Oregon State Forest Management Plan, the FMP, including by reducing reliance on pesticide applications. Higher temperatures create imbalances in natural systems, causing more outbreaks and damage from pests and invasive weeds, then leading to increased pesticide use as there are more pests to manage. However, pesticides also contribute to the climate crisis throughout their manufacture, transport, and application. When pesticides are made, greenhouse gases including carbon dioxide, methane, and nitrous oxide are emitted. Pesticides kill or harm soil organisms that are critical for carbon sequestration. As pollinator populations decline due to climate change, pesticides cause additional stress by degrading habitat and lowering lifespans. Warming waters increase pesticide toxicity, threatening fish and other aquatic life. And while all communities deserve protected, clean drinking water, pesticide use has put crucial drinking water sources sensitive to climate change at greater risk. While numerous goals included in the draft FMP address these concerns, we do advocate for the inclusion of a specific chemical spray goal and greatly appreciate Chair Kelly recognizing this request and expressing support for this revision. Overall, it is crucial that ODF draft strategies to support resilient, climate-adapted forests that can withstand disturbances and changing conditions. So we look forward to continuing to work with ODF staff as the process continues and ask that the board please support a strong FMP that prioritizes ecologically sound and just forest management, supporting the health of our forested ecosystems and communities. Thank you very much.
Up next, Ms. Wilkinson.
Hello again. Again, for the record, my name is Laura Wilkinson with Hampton Lumber. So components of greatest permanent value are often referred to as a three-legged stool. Since the department has been so heavily focused on the environmental aspect of GPV with the development of the draft HCP over the past several years, we would ask ODF to use the FMP to balance out the missing social and economic components of that stool. The department has the opportunity to strike that balance, starting with FMP goals and guiding principles. Goals should be broad and reflective of the desired state. However, as currently drafted, they still need improvement and refinement. As mentioned in the presentation earlier and also in Hampton's written comments, we would agree that not all of the goals are in fact forest resources. A lot of them are redundant and could be combined with other goals. We do appreciate some of the changes that have been made so far, like recognizing carbon stored in wood products, but ODF will need to continue to improve these goals as drafting of the FMP continues. On the guiding principles, these have not been updated since the 2019 draft take avoidance FMP draft. There are some suggestions edits that seem minor in there, but they have not been formally vetted by stakeholders. An example of this is striking the words financial viability in the guiding principle 3. We just ask the board and the department remain flexible and open-minded as this process moves forward. I'd also like to quickly address some comments that were made earlier regarding the city of Wilhelmina's drinking water intake. I'm not speaking for the city, but Hampton's been involved with this project and can provide some context. The intake that's located at the lower reach of the watershed was simply moved 150 feet downstream to mitigate the effect of a natural channel migration. A gravel bar had formed in the river just upstream from the intake and it continues to move closer, hence the need to relocate. Hampton's been working with the city and is actually providing the land for the new intake site. So just want to provide a point of clarification there. Thank you.
Up next, Mr. Storm.
Chair Kelly, Acting State Forester Hirsch and board members. My name is Rex Storm. I'm a certified forester representing Associated Oregon Loggers. AOL has been engaged with the department during their HCP and FMP development, and we have been willing to focus discussion on conservation and wildlife thus far. However, we now believe it's time to turn additional attention to the social and economic portions of the greatest permanent value. We represent family forest businesses, many of whom help achieve the GPV on state forests. We urge the department to look at ways in which the FMP can grow working family jobs in those rural communities that are the forest producers who are state land partners and in their sustainable outcomes. The industry and rural communities have been willing to give some towards wildlife and conservation to date. We together have an obligation to ensure that the flow of active forest management on state lands is great enough that we do not continue to just simply add fuel combustibility. We also want to ensure that the FMP pays for itself into the future. AOL believes that the conversation today must shift in this social and economic direction to ensure that the overall FMP discussion is balanced between all three legs of the stool. We have focused almost exclusively on ecological. Now it's time to turn our attention towards striking a better balance towards sustainable resources of working forest communities, economic self-sufficiency, and environmental abundance. The false paradigm that wrongly claims economy and social values must be sacrificed for a healthy environment, must be cast aside. Oregon's century of forest prosperity, science, and experience demonstrates that we can produce more, not less. Thank you.
Closing us out for item 9 is Mr. Branscombe.
Thank you. Okay, good. I'm on the screen. Thank you, Chair Kelly, members of the board. My name is Brett Branscombe. I'm with the Wild Salmon Center, here to represent our organizational interests. And I'm here to testify on state forest management planning. I'll keep it short, given that it's 2 minutes. Obviously wrapped up in this is the GPV, greatest permanent value debate. What I heard and saw presented at the October 8th Forest Trust Land Advisory Committee meeting and then reiterated here today is a highly selective reading of the 1941 GPV statute, an omission of older and current both statutory and deed provisions supporting broader values on state forest lands than timber production, and a misconstruction of history. And my written testimony that honestly I haven't submitted yet, I wanted to wait and hear how the conversations went today, but I will submit it immediately after this meeting. The written testimony goes into more detail there, and I'll let that stand. As to the assertion that there's a policy imbalance towards the ecological, we disagree with that, and we ask that the board also reject the false GPV interpretation that's being put forward. It's not a viable foundation for collaboration or policy, and please don't simply take our word for it. We ask that you dig deeper into your own understanding of the history, the context, and the law, and related to that, that includes the understanding of the state's top legal department at the Department of Justice, and we ask that you help the public and all county commissioners in the state, as well as broader interests, understand what that term of art means. As of the translation into the FMP goals of GPV, the goals are numerous indeed, and we're open to possible ways to consolidate, especially to distill meaningful and measurable goal statements. To be clear, we would like to collaborate on the HCP and the FMP, and ideally we'd all be sitting around crafting goal statements together around how to meet mutual values. And unfortunately, when you disagree on where True North is and where Due South is, it's hard to take a trip together. I'll let the written testimony stand for more of what's contained in there related to further work on FMP goals, as well as how the HCP translates to supporting broader economic values, not just on state forest lands, but off of them. Thank you, and sorry to run over time by a few seconds.
Thank you, everyone. We appreciate your participation. You are welcome just to stay in the Zoom meeting for the remainder of this item. However, we just ask that you remain muted and disengage your video again. Thank you, Chair Kelly, members of the board. This concludes our public testimony for item 9 and for the public meeting today.
Okay, thank you, presenters. Lots of really thoughtful testimony, which we appreciate. Boy, we've had a lot of subjects today. It's been long and very interesting and significant, important topics. So here's a chance to just for us to have a moment, take a breath, and anybody who's got anything that they'd like to share, now's your time, board members. And I see Joe got his hand up right away.
I'm not sure I was first, but I'll take it. First of all, I appreciate the meeting today. I appreciate you, Jim, and running the meeting. It's good meeting all the board members. I'm really thankful for you all. I just reflecting back on the day, the urban forest presentation was fantastic. I thought it was very interesting that, you know, even urban forests need active management. And, you know, that's very striking to me. You know, the private forest division talking about monitoring, the work they've done has been tremendous. I think we're going to have a much better system. I appreciate that. I appreciate Brenda bringing, you know, the questions forward and challenging. And I'm confident that I think it's a great process. I'm really appreciative of that. I think, you know, state lands, I want to go back and, you know, Carla brought up this, you know, talk about inventory. On state lands and such. And obviously there's some work to be done there and a greater understanding of what that means related to carbon. And I hope that we all can reserve our conclusions based, you know, not be too quick until we begin to see all of that data, because there's things that aren't adding up to me related to that. And so I would just ask board members to let's see some more information. I guess I would ask Liz to make sure that we can see some data related to that, because I'm making the assumption that inventory is going to be, and how inventory is building on state lands is relate to carbon. So something, just a lot of the numbers that Carla had said earlier are some of the numbers that I had in my mind. So some things aren't quite jiving in there. So that, to me, that's kind of a to-do. And so I'm sure Liz heard that pretty loud and clear, I'm assuming. And then, you know, the climate change and carbon plan, I think it's just important. You said it, Jim, what we do is not perfect, right? I mean, this is not a perfect, none of this policy is perfect. And we're always working towards better. So I'll just leave it with that. Thank you.
You too. Chandra.
Thanks, Jim. So I actually had a question after the commenters, but I guess I will go into my closing thoughts first, and then I will end with my question. But it's interesting. I think today is a little bit bittersweet for me. You know, on the one hand, we have some really amazingly encouraging developments from a new state forester, which has been a very lengthy process, to this private forest accord, which has also been an amazingly lengthy process with a lot of work on it that went into that, and a lot of work still to come. And then, of course, with wrapping the day up with the carbon plan, which I think is a really, really good first step for us. So these are all very encouraging efforts and developments in for one meeting day in particular. But on the other hand, you know, this is our last meeting with Nancy Hirsch at the helm. And so I wanted to make sure that I got my piece in. And as others have said, that Nancy, you have done an absolutely tremendous job of steering this agency and board forward towards our joint goals, despite a lot of challenges. And so I just wanted to say thank you to you for this last meeting and your commitment to improving communication and accountability and employee well-being has been steadfast, and it's already showing dividends, I think. So thank you for that and for setting us on that trajectory. And I'm glad that we will be able to keep you around in some capacity, even if it's not in this role anymore. So thank you for that. And I'm really, really grateful for the immense public engagement we've had on the forest management plan and on the carbon plan in particular. And I recognize, and I'm hearing from both board members, but also from our public feedback, that, you know, there's immense interest in the details and in the priorities, because these are massive efforts and they're very high level and they're broad. And it's going to matter how we implement them and how we are prioritizing actions. And I have a commitment to wanting to see that as well. And I know others do. And my question kind of comes about because of Brett's testimony, actually, in terms of the GPV. And we've had all of these suggestions around goal statements. And you think, you know, I think there's mutual interest in a lot of the goals. And I wonder if the different interest groups have had an opportunity to touch base on these. Because if I recall previously around HCP conversations, and maybe they were FMP conversations as well, there were some joint meetings from different interest groups to kind of hash some of that out. And I don't remember if that's continuing or if it was just in the early stage, but regardless, I think that would be a really positive step, given that we're kind of more into the details and wordsmithing around some of these different goals. So if that's not happening, it seems like there's a good opportunity to do that. And of course, I am thankful for this board, as usual, and the great conversation we've been able to have today.
Carla.
Great. Thank you, Chandra. And I too want to thank Nancy. Nancy, when you walked in, I was just so appreciative of how you took control of the financials and, you know, with really helping the people internally. And it just gave us tremendous comfort immediately. So we thank you for everything you did, and we welcome Cal. Cal, you can see today we've got our hands full. on many big topics, but we welcome you. And I know this board will be there to really, you know, support you every step of the way. I really appreciate the Forest Accord and the 12 members from the conservation groups and the private representatives that formed that agreement this past week. I think that can be just a great platform and roadmap for many, many more things to come. One of the things that I've been, you know, talking about at previous board meetings is really labor availability for wildfire going forward and fighting the vast wildfires that we have been dealing with. I want to call to all of your attention this current issue that just came out 3 days ago, Scientific America, on the use of robots and drones. And the newest technologies in wildfire, and they put quite a bit of time to that. So that's on other people's minds as well. And I just want to draw that to all of our attention. I do want to sort out the math. Thank you all for your comments on that. But if we go back to 16 on the state lands, our own math says we grew, our annual growth rate was 60% higher than our harvest rate. So I'm going to challenge our own math and make sure that we are all comfortable with, because it's just too big a deviation for making the size of decisions that we're making. So, you know, thank you all for your openness to that. And I think finally I want to shout out, I thought we had an excellent presentation today on forest health. And I personally want to thank our entomologists, pathologists, invasive species specialists, people who dedicate their lives to this work. It is really valuable work. And last, you know, we lost 478 private structures this year and 161 homes in wildfire. We lost 5,000 homes last year and 7 towns and communities. And our acres burned in 10 years, 11 years is something up over 7.4 million acres now. 25% of the ODF budget was basically committed in the first 10 weeks of our new biennium budget. Just the cost and the sheer vastness of these wildfires has got to be a primary focus of this board as we even begin to think about forest health and resiliency. So thank you for a good day.
Great. Joe and Carla, one thing that I know, and I just want to share so that you have an idea on this. I was shown a presentation a few weeks ago by a conservation group that has been doing a lot of mapping and analysis throughout the state, trying to get at this idea of both existing carbon stores and trending. And their completely separate mapping system has indicated the pretty much same trend on state forests. They are insecure about their data. And so their next step was to meet and compare. They had no idea that actually, meanwhile, that ODF's data would be similar. They assumed that ODF's data would present a much rosier picture. And so they're all meeting to compare their different mapping systems and their science that they're geeks and are geeks. And so that's going to happen soon. But it sort of led me to the place where I'm thinking this is probably where we're going to end up. But I think we got to, you know, I totally support that we really want to push hard to make sure that things do end up as verified as possible. Brenda?
Yeah, thank you, Jim. I just wanted to echo thanks to Nancy for coming in and moving the ODF ship along in a really wonderful direction and really setting us on a trajectory for a new time, a new era for the agency that comes not only from your leadership, Nancy, but from the leadership we're going to get from Cal. And I know we will get that leadership from Cal. I've worked with him before. He will do a wonderful job, but also leadership from all of the ODF staff that we work with and this board. I reflected back on 3 years ago when I came on the board, and as Jim said, or someone said earlier, we didn't talk about climate change very much at all. And when we did, it didn't seem to go anywhere, to a discussion today that was rich, deep, had lots of questions, not as many answers. And that's good, because the more questions we ask, then we'll get answers to those eventually. And that's good. But this is a completely different experience for me than it was 3 years ago. And I just want to thank everybody involved for that. This has just been wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you, Brenda. Ben.
Thanks, Jim. And thank you all for a long but really good day. And as I reflect back, I'm reiterating things that other people have said to an extent, but as I reflect back on today, I think there are lots of successes. I mean, we have a laundry list of achievements and exciting things coming in the future. And at the same time, some new challenges are coming our way, and some new things to work on. And I feel like we as a board, we as a department, I very much feel part of the department at this point, have the tools we need to do this work. And I'm going to echo my thanks to Nancy. You've done an incredible job of steering this ship. And I feel like a lot of thanks go to you for setting the department up over the last number of months for this. And I am new to this work, and you and I came on about the same time. And so I've just seen this sort of through your eyes as well. And huge thanks for your communication and your style. It worked very well for me, and it worked obviously very well for the department, as we can see. And I'm optimistic about our ability to, tackle the work that is already in front of us and the work that will come. And I look forward to continuing this work, and I'm excited to get to know you, Cal, and work with you.
Cal had to go off a little bit early, so he's not with us, but do want to, I want to thank all of you. I've just been continually impressed by all of your dedication and smarts and perspective and experience and everything that you bring, and commitment to do this. It is not fun, these all-day virtual meetings. The in-person ones aren't really all that fun either, but I am really hoping, and of course we have no control over this, that maybe in January, fingers crossed, that we might be able to all be in a room together. Some of you could actually meet each other. Maybe a few hugs. Anyhow, Nancy can't thank you enough, so I'll thank you one more time, and hopefully we'll be able to just share a glass of wine before too long. That would be really fun to do. Anything else for the order? Other comments? Great. Well, thanks again to all of you. And with that, this Board of Forestry meeting is adjourned.